You'll see it at every ball game. John 3:16. What does that say? Say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not everlasting life. What a promise that God gives us. Now, let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, God, we're so thankful that you love us. Oh, how great a God we serve, a wonderful Savior. Lord, I'm so glad that you saved us. You paid the price for us. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, today they might accept you. Lord, that they might invite you into their life. Lord, that they might live eternity with you. Oh, God, we just thank you for your great, mighty promises in the Bible. We give you praise today, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I was watching practice the other day, and I thought about football a little bit. I'm not a real football fan. I don't go to too many games. I see them, but, you know, they beat up on each other so much, and I see that every day in the world that, you know, you shouldn't have to beat up on people to get a little pigskin. But they do. And, you know, the announcer will say, third down and one to go. Third down and one to go. You know, the Bible has three downs and one to go. If you start back in Genesis chapter 3, you'll see that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Lord created Adam and put Adam in the Garden of Eden. What a beautiful garden that was. There was no sin there, absolutely no sin. And Adam walked with God and they talked with God, had a beautiful fellowship with God. And God didn't want Adam to be alone, so he created him a helpmate there, took a rib from his side, and there he made Eve. And God said, Eve and Adam, he said, you can eat of every tree in the garden except the garden of the tree of good and evil. Well, also, old Satan was there, and he tempted Eve. You know what he tempted her? To take of the fruit and eat. And she did. And when she did, she disobeyed God's word. Now, sin is disobedience against God. That's what sin is. We are disobedient towards God. God says, thou shalt not, and we do it. And Adam and Eve sinned, and that sin had passed down through all the generations. And when you see a little child today that's born into the world, guess what? He's got that sin nature in him or her. Oh, as cute as they may be, they've got that sin nature, because the Bible says that is passed down from Adam. Adam and Eve took that tree and they sinned and disobeyed God. And God came calling, and they hid themselves from God, thinking, well, if we hide from God, we can won't have to face him. But God says, Adam, where are you? Adam said, Lord, we hid ourselves from you, because we were naked and ashamed. God said, who told you, Adam, that you were naked? Did you eat of the tree of? Yes, Lord, I ate. And he blamed it on his wife. You know, men are good about that, aren't we, women? The women just know that we blame everything on them, and, you know, they blame everything on us. So it just passes back and forth. But, you see, they sinned against God. And God looked down from heaven, and he saw man in all of his sin. You see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That simply means everyone here needs a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. God looked down. That was his first down. He looked down and saw man in his misery and in the let me tell you something. Without Christ, with sin in the world, we're in the misery. He looked at man and saw how sinful they had become. And the world was just filled with unrighteousness. The world was filled with all kinds of sinful things. And God, the Bible says he looked down at man and, well, he destroyed the world with water and Noah there. But you know what? Sin still came back. Sin is always with us, seems like. It's always there. It always raises its ugly head. And sin is disobedience against God. And I want you to know this morning, if you have sin in your life, you're outside of God's perfect will. For the Bible says God willed that none should perish, but all should have eternal life. And God wants you to have eternal life today. He looked down and saw man's kind. Second, therefore he looked down and saw man's kind. He gave Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Jesus came down. That's the second down. You see, when the fullness of time, the Bible says, was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. You see, Jesus came down because man was sinful. And man could not get away from that sin. Oh, he tried. He tried to keep the law. He tried to obey the commandments. But they found out that they could not keep the law. Have you ever tried to do right all day long? Man, I have tried that. I fall short every time. Let me tell you something. I can be doing real good, keeping, you know, man, I'm not going to sin today. I'm going to walk with God today. You know, about the only way you can do that, and I ain't sure you can do that, is keep your head buried in the sand all day. Man, there's so many temptations out there. There's so many people out there. You know, you go to Walmart and you lose it right there. Man, if I'm going to live a sinless life, I can't go to Walmart again. Man, somebody cut me off the other day going in the gas line. You know, I just don't understand, but just the old devil. He wants you to lose your influence of good. He wants you to ruin your testimony. We tried to do it, but we couldn't. So Jesus Christ came. You see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death. But Christ came down, and he says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, through Christ, we can have everlasting life. That's the good news. When the angels brought forth the message of the gospel that Jesus, in the fullness of time, was born in a stable, that he came down to man, he said he saw that as good news and great joy for all people, for people now could have their life in Christ and they could have a hope. See, God gives us hope. Man, I know one day, because of Jesus Christ, I'm going to have eternal life. I believe that with all my heart. One day, God's going to take me out of this old world of sin. I am so glad that Jesus came down to us and brought us hope. You see, he brought us a way of salvation. Jesus says, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he paid our price. Back in the Old Testament, when God came and Adam and Eve was hiding themselves, the Bible says God killed a lamb or a goat and made out of that skin a covering for them. But blood was shed. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So Christ came, he died upon the cross of Calvary, that we might have life. I am so glad he not only looked down and saw our helpless estate, but he came down and brought us salvation through Jesus Christ, his Son. Isn't that good news? It's good news that Christ came to us. And when he died on the cross, listen, when he died on the cross, He made a way possible that we could be right with God again. You see, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's so good to know this morning that Christ died for us. He paid the price. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Christ died for you. For God so loved you. I've heard that ever since I was a little boy in junior Sunday school classes, intermediate Sunday school classes, that Christ died for us. God so loved me that he gave his son Jesus to die upon the cross for me, that if I would just say, Lord, I need you as my Lord and Savior, I realize I'm sinful. I realize I'm without hope. I realize that one day I'll die and go to an eternity lost if I don't trust you. I'm so thankful that he loved me so much that one day I remember, I realize that, and the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I just simply said, Lord, I realize I'm lost, and I want you to come into my life. And just like a little child, I came down to the front and I told the preacher, listen, I am lost, and I want Christ to come into my life. I believe that he died for me. I believe that he paid the price for my sin. And I believe that I need to live for him with my life. And you know what? That load of burden of sin was just lifted off my shoulders. And all the joy, all the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that God looked down and saw our sinful condition. I am so glad that Jesus Christ came down and brought us salvation. And I'm so glad that Jesus Christ laid down his life. You see, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God. The Bible goes on to say, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down their life for a friend. Jesus Christ laid down his life. You know, I heard it all my life that they took his life. No, they didn't take his life. The Bible says he laid down his life for you and I. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great Savior that we have? Now, that verse simply means that when Christ laid down his life for us, our sins are blotted out by that precious blood. There's no black record against me anymore. No, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses our life. That precious blood of Jesus Christ, God wiped out my sin because I said, Lord, will you cleanse my heart? Man, I tell you what he did. Aren't you glad that God forgives us of our sin? Man, I told you a while ago, you can't make it a day without sinning. Sinning, we do that while getting mad. We get angry. But you know what? The Bible says when we sin, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am so glad that he did that for me. He cleanses me every single time. Every little sin or big sin that I do, if I confess it before God, he cleanses me and washes that sin out, blots it out with his precious blood. Isn't that good news? All our sins in Christ now, if we're in Christ, you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, every sin that you commit, past, present, and future, I said future, you're going to sin out there too, has already been forgiven. All we have to do is confess it when we do it. You see, confess it brings us into a right relationship with God, a fellowship with God. You know, we're saved once and for all when we first ask Christ, I don't believe in you, you can lose your salvation. I did nothing to get my salvation simply by faith. God's grace by faith that I'm saved today. So I don't have to worry about keeping me saved. That's God's part. He saved me. I'm already saved. I can't lose that salvation, but I lose my fellowship with God when I do something wrong and I don't confess it. You know, my wife and I have been married 46 years. Whew, that's a long time she's put up with me. Man, if I make her mad, it breaks a relationship, a fellowship that we have. It doesn't mean we're still not married, but that fellowship is broken. But if I go to her and I say, you know, babe, I was wrong. What I did was wrong. That fellowship, she forgives me. That fellowship is back together again. You see? It's the same way with God. It's the same way with anyone else. When we are mad, when we are separated from a fellowship, we have a broken relationship there. But oh, it's so good to know that our fellowship can be restored and forgiven. And God is good at forgiving. He said, I remember that sin no more. When you confess it, the only one's going to bring it back up to you is the old devil. Boy, he's good at that, isn't he? He's our false accuser. He's always bringing it back up. But listen, God says, it's no longer there. I have blotted it out. I have forgiven it. You don't have to worry about it. When God forgives, he forgets. I am so glad that God looked down and saw mankind, and Jesus came down and brought us salvation. And he laid down his life on Calvary's cross. Now that's three downs. Three downs. God looked down. Jesus came down. And Jesus laid down. But the announcer says third down and one to go. There's still one down coming, you know. One down to go. Jesus is coming down one day. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, I would not have you, I love this passage of Scripture, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, there he is, he's coming, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, folks, we're talking about a coming down again. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe in the rapture of the church. You know, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm going to see my friends and loved ones again. Just because they're dead, the Bible says they're going to be raised first. And then we which are alive. That simply means that Christ could come at any moment. Have you thought about that? He could come today. Boy, that's exciting to know that I am ready and Christ is coming back one day to receive us home. Now, somebody will say, well, preacher, you believe in the rapture, and the rapture is not found in the Bible. Well, a lot of other words are not found in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that they're not true. Listen to me. We're going to be raptured out of here one day. Philip was caught up, amen? Philip was caught up and translated over. Paul was caught up in the third heaven, and over in the Old Testament, Elijah and Enoch was caught up. That's talking about a catching away, a snatching away. Man, I believe with all my heart, one day Christ is going to sound a trumpet. You're going to hear the trumpet call, and we're going to be out of here, folks. We're going to be caught up to meet him in the air. what a rejoicing that will be. That will be the 1 yard line, the third down and one to go, meeting the Lord in the air. It says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. At any given moment, I believe all my heart that the prophecies are fulfilled. We're waiting, and Christ is going to come back. Now, if he comes back today, let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready to be out of here? I'm glad. I know Brother Jay is, but I'm not sure about the rest of us. We're not too excited about that. We'll be saying, amen. Amen. There you go. I'm glad you're alive. I thought for a while you were already dead, and me and him was the only one alive. Whew, I'm glad to know that y'all can hear. But you know, that is the hope of the church. You see, ever since Christ ascended back into heaven, the angels promised. Listen to this. I'm going to preach on this in a couple of weeks. This same Jesus, the same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come again in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And folks, that is exciting to know that Christ is coming back. You know, I believe it's in Thessalonians. Every chapter talks about his coming again. And he mentions the second coming of Christ. He mentions it again and again and again in every chapter as it is. He wants to let us all know, listen, what I'm saying about the Lord's return, you need to hear it. He's coming again. And the return is not a hidden mystery. Some people say, oh, that's hidden in the Bible. We don't know that. No, Paul tells us in Thessalonians, sorrow not as others who have no hope. You see, in the time of death, the pagans, all they wept and wailed and, you know, they stand in despair. They don't have a God that's living. Old Buddha's dead, and he's still dead. I never will forget this man, this young man named Jack. He was in Thailand, and I was walking down the street, and he was lighting those candles in there, on his knees lighting those candles, and that smoke was coming up, and I was just standing there watching him through the window, and when he got those candles put out, evidently he'd opened his eyes, and he saw me standing there. And he come and said, can I make you a suit? He wanted to build me a suit. I started to say, I don't think you got enough material in those little ones to make me a suit. But you know what? I said, can I ask you a question, Jack? And he said, yeah, what is it? I said, what are you doing in there? And he said, what are you doing? And lighting those candles. He said, oh, I'm praying to Buddha. I said, let me ask you another question. Has he ever helped you answer a prayer? And he says, well, not that I can remember. And I says, is he dead? He says, yeah, he's dead. I said, well, if he's dead, he can't help you, can he? And it began to click in his mind. I said, let me tell you about my Lord. He's alive. I said, he died on the cross for my sin. And I just went on through it and shared with him that, hey, put him in the ground. They covered him up with a tomb, like in a tomb, rolled a stone in front of him. But on the third day, he was out of there. He rose from the grave, and he's alive. And he's sitting at his Father's right hand in heaven. And that's my Jesus, Jack. And I said, do you believe that? And he said, it must be true. I said, yeah, it is true. I said, how come that? And he said, another man told me that a few years ago. And I said, what are you going to do about it, Jack? Are you going to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, or continue praying to a dead man? You see, the risen Lord is alive. We have a hope. He had no hope. No prayers to be answered. I pray to God, and let me tell you, He answers our prayer. And the result of us going to heaven is we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Bible says we'll be changed. Whether we're dead, we'll be changed, or alive, we'll be changed. You know, and we shall go into heaven and worship, praise God. Folks, let me tell you something. The Lord is a great God. I hear people all the time saying, well, how do you know God is going to do this? How do you know? Because He promises He will in the Word of God. And every promise that He makes, our God fulfills. You look through here in the Bible and you find out one promise. You show me one promise that He hasn't kept, and I'll tell you what, I won't believe it anymore. But you cannot do that, because His Word is true and faithful. He said, listen, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and He will. Time after time, I've watched people on their deathbed, time after time, those who are in Christ, man, they die with a smile upon their face. They know that Jesus Christ is coming, and they're happy. And I've watched those that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're not so happy. I don't know what it is, except one has a Savior and the other does not. The Bible says we'll all stand before God and give an account of our life. Now, as Christians, we'll be in the judgment seat. That's not talking about our salvation. That's talking about our works. Those who are lost, they will be at the great white throne judgment, and He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And then He'll cast them into the lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. Folks, God looked down and saw man needed a Savior. Jesus Christ came in the fullness of time, and He laid down His life on the cross that we might have life. You know, in football, it says 3-1. It's just a short distance. It's just a short distance, 1 yard. 1 yard, about that long. I believe with all my heart, between the time that Jesus Christ laid down His life and coming again, it's just a short distance, folks. It's going to be here at any moment. At any time, we can expect to hear His call. You know, in football, they try, they make it, they keep going. If you will come and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can keep going. You can keep going. If you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to make that 1 yard. Folks, it's a serious thing to face God without the blood of Jesus Christ. Being prepared when Christ comes. Paul stresses this suddenness over and over and over again. And here in the Word of God, listen to what he says. The coming of Christ is like a thief in the night. A thief doesn't knock on the door and say, I'm going to rob you. No, you just have to be ready for him, doesn't he? He's in and out of there. Boy, I'll tell you what. Christ comes, it'll be like a thief in the night. He'll be here before you know it. And it says also the birth of a child. All those labor pains come, and that child comes. Let me tell you something. Christ is fixed to come. And the best life that we can live today is a life of faith and hope in Jesus Christ. And he warns us, listen, do not relax, but put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in that last day. Folks, we need to be ready. We need to take on the helmet of salvation. We need to take on the breastplate of righteousness. We need all the pieces of armor that God has given us in Ephesians chapter 6. And our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Oh, let me tell you something. A life of support and help is what we live. We should build upon each other. In the church, we need the church. I need the church around me because they are like-minded. They are in Christ. We're part of the bride of Christ. We're part of His children. And it's a life of joy forevermore. And it's a life of prayer. I know that if I'm sick today, I know that if I'm in the hospital today, that you will be praying for me. And just knowing that, you're interceding on my behalf. Oh, I need that. That's what churches offer. We pray for people. Ellie's here this morning. Praise the Lord. We've been praying for her. Amen. It's good to see you. I tell you what. A life of gratitude. I praise God. I thank God every day for the life that He's given me. I thank God for leading me here. I thank God for the children I've got. I thank God for the wife I've got. I thank God for the family I've got. But most of all, I thank Him for the son that I've got, His precious son. Now, He's coming again. Will you meet Him as Savior, or will you meet Him as Judge? Oh, what a Savior we have. And the answer to that question is totally rest in your hands with what you're going to do. Are you going to say yes to Jesus or no to Jesus? Only you can answer that. I'm going to give a verse or two of invitation. If you're lost, the Bible says you need to come to Jesus Christ. If you're saved, then start living for Him on a day-to-day basis. Look out. Watch out. The devil's going to try to trip you up. But just keep living for Him day by day by day. And when you get to your end of your life, whether He comes back or whether you die in the Lord, you'll spend eternity with Him. Heavenly Father, I thank You today that You looked down and saw us in our helpless estate. Lord, that Jesus Christ came down and laid down His life. And one day He's coming again. Lord, that we may be forever with Him. If someone's here and doesn't know that for sure, today might be the day they come to salvation. If there's someone here that is looking for a church home and this is the place that God has led them, Lord, may they come. Lord, whatever decisions we need to make as an individual, as Christians, let us make those decisions. For it's in Your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.